Goeiemôre almal. I just want to thank from the bottom of my heart to thank if you are a member in our books in the Northern Conference of South Africa, near the Northern Lake Conference of South Africa. If you are a member there, I really do take this opportunity on behalf of the rest of the team to thank you for what you have done for us, especially this last past 2 years. We battled in 2024, immediately after COVID, 2022, 2023, 2024, immediately after COVID to make the budget. Now, you may not see the developments in this place, Sedaven, but it is because they are underground. You can't see them on top. But we have started also beautifying the top. That is why you have got some few Klompi, Nive, Stule. So we will keep on increasing by the day. And you are going to have this place as a first world five-star place. But in spite of the bad economic conditions, in spite of the challenges which our members had, 2024, 2025, and I'm speaking about audited figures. When I say audited figures, I don't even understand. I'm just a pastor. They told me it's audited figures. So I'm just thinking that I should hoist this one also so that you may know that I know something of the accounting. So with the audited figures, we discovered that we, in spite of the challenges, God blessed us with a 10% growth in tithe and just a marginal growth in offerings. It really means that you came out very good for us, and we want to thank you. You know, the Seventh Adventist Church runs in a very precarious system. If you decide not to return a faithful tithe to the Lord, we will not come to your house with an AK-47 and say, you tithe or else, you know what I mean? We will not threaten you that we are going to pray you out of heaven like the other churches do, you know, that if you don't take out money, we are going to send you to hell. We can't do that. The Seventh Adventists have got a constituency which is defined by the mission we have. We understand who we are. We know that our mission is to spread the world, the word, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and a people, as defined in the book of Revelation chapter 14. And that mission will never change until Jesus Christ comes. And so when we give because there is a purpose, there is a mission which we need to accomplish. That is why if you are a church in the NCSA, in the Northern Conference of South Africa, and you write a proposal that you need, say, 25,000 for evangelism, and it is voted down by the ADCOM, you must know that you are in the wrong church. Leave the church and go somewhere else. Every request that has been made by any church in this conference was honored because of the grace of God. And we will never say no. As long as you are going to use the money to reach souls, we will rob the bank. No, we can't. We will do everything possible to make sure that you get the money to do the mission of God. That is really very much important. So for that, I have nothing in my hands. Simple to the cross I cling, but I can pray for you, okay, that God should continue to bless you. Let us close our eyes for prayer. Father, here are your people. You are great people who love you, but they are also lovable. I pray that each one of them who are in this hall, in this camp, in this Devon camp, together with the young people, please put a special blessing upon them. The blessing of possessions, the blessing of health and happiness, the blessing of being bound together with cords of love in their families, the blessing of never running out of food on their tables, a roof over their head, and clothing upon their backs. May you continually bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My wife and I discussed, she's here today, I will behave, okay? poor soul, she's the one whenever we have a public engagement, we test our speeches and our sermons on her. So she will sit down and listen to the whole sermon for 45 minutes, and we even, you know, we preach until we make even a call, okay? And then she will say, it is right, it is not wrong. So this sermon it's actually a joint venture between me and my wife. So if it is good, it is mine, okay? If it is not good, it is not mine, it belongs to my wife. I thought I should speak about the pros of praise. Here is what I think. If God is the one who formed us in his image, and I thank God for that, if he formed us and we were deformed by sin, reformed by his word, and we are going to be transformed when he comes the second time, coming to take us home, then if God is both our creator and our redeemer, the skepper and the ferloser, is that how it will go? If he is both those titles, then he deserves to be praised always when we get a chance. We need to be able to look at ourselves and say, if we were created by God in his image, and David has a wonderful way of putting it, says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. When you look at me as an individual, you look at the image of God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And if we believe that, and we believe that sin tainted the image of God, so that today we have to get education and specialized preaching so that we may go back to where we were with God, we need to know that wherever we get time, we need to thank him. And so I came up with the theme of are we on this one? Okay, let's try this. There you are. The pros of prayer. The verse which we have, the Psalm 150, verse 6. Psalm 150, verse 6, it's powerful. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And it says, praise ye the Lord. In African culture, whenever you meet a king or a chief of the village, when you are still far away, you must start telling lies about them just to pep up their spirit. Especially if you need a favor from them, you must actually say things which have never happened before. Like, for instance, I hear Ndabezite that you killed a lion using your bare hands. I know you are the richest person in the world, even though you know that he's poor. You need to keep on giving him praises and honor and all sorts of things, which is really very much important. But when we come before God, we know that it is not the king we can actually flatter. We cannot be sarcastic when we come to God. When we go to him, he deserves our praises and honor. And that is part of the strategy of the war we are having today. In his book, The Art of War, Sun Tzu, and one of the most powerful classics on war, and when you read it, you feel like you are reading parts of the great controversy. In that book, it says, in the war, there are technical preparations which the army needs to go through in order to win. And part of that is you need to know the enemy. That is really very much important. And the second one is that you need to know thyself. Now, I want to test it. As Christians, as Adventists, do we know who the enemy is? Your enemy is not your brother or sister who is seated next to you. We can't fight amongst ourselves and we say we are in the battle for the Lord. No. Your enemy is the devil. It's defined very well in the book of John chapter 8, verse 44, where it says, he speaks lies. When he speaks lies, he speaks his own native language. He is there to kill and destroy. That is our enemy. Your enemy is not your sister in the church. When you see people in the church, they are not coming here to become your enemy. They are coming here as broken people, all of us, having come short of the glory of God. We are here not to be criticized. We are already broken. You can't break us any further. What you need to do is that you need to love me into the kingdom of God. Where I like Ellen G. White, sorry, I will need to go. There is a statement in the book, Ministry of Healing, page 430. It says, the greatest argument in favor of the gospel is a loving and lovable Christian. When you are here, you need to love your brother and sister. Pick them by the hand, and that is really very much important. Pull them together with you to heaven. Love them in such a manner that they know that they are seated here not as an object of criticism, but as a candidate of heaven. So when you need to win the war which we are fighting, the great controversy, you need to know the enemy. The enemy is not your brother, is not your sister. The enemy is the devil himself. The second one, it says, you need to know thyself. You need to know your weaknesses. All of us know that we have come short of the glory of God. We know that in the battle in which we are, and I'm coming where we are today because of the theme we have on the screen. We need to know that we need to understand and appreciate the fact that on our own, we cannot stand before the enemy and fight him. He has got more than 6,000 years of experience. We have none. And the only defense we have is Jesus Christ, our loving Savior. The only defense when we know who we are is our loving Jesus. So in this book, Sun Tzu says, so in war, the way to avoid what is strong is to attack what is weak. Water shapes its course according to the ground over which it flows. The soldier works out his victory in relation to the foe he is facing, meaning you need to know the enemy. The skillful fighter puts himself into a position which makes defeat impossible. This is what you control about yourself. Does not miss the moment of defeating the enemy. That is, I think, page 6. Now he says, if you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the results of any 100 battles, because you would have prepared yourself. You know the enemy, you know yourself. But if you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer defeat. And then it says, if you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. There are people who neither know the enemy, they don't know who the enemy is, and so they play in his territory and he gets them. There are also people who don't know who they are. And I want to say to you today, and I want to praise the Lord, that you are created in the image of God. You need to know that in your veins pulsates the blood of Jesus Christ himself. You are saved and elected to be what you want, what God wants you to be. So you need to know that you are Adventist. Thabo Mbeki, the former president, one of the former presidents of South Africa, before we had you know who, he gave a speech. You remember the speech which was, "I am an African." And he made so many people proud that they are Africans. We were all Africans. But as he was going through this speech, and I'm saying, you know, how beautiful it is for us to be proud that we are Africans, that we are South Africans. And I decided that, man, I will also want one day give a speech like his, but I will actually entitle it, "I am an Adventist." So that everybody, I don't care who you are, so that everybody can know that I am an Adventist. I do not apologize. I do not, you know, I can't say I do not give a, you know what I mean, because I'm in the pulpit. I do not apologize. I'm an Adventist. You know how powerful it is to be an Adventist? I will tell you, it is so powerful that if to be an Adventist I needed to pay R1 million, I would have gone to rob the bank to come and buy my membership into this church. Where people are crying because they don't know what the future holds, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. We are not worried about what is coming because we know that even creation itself is groaning now. We know that Jesus is coming again. He says he's not saying I might come. He is coming back again. And it is important for you to know that all these things belong to Seventh Adventist. So I'm very happy. So I thought I should come up with a sermon which says I'm an Adventist, and I did. And I laced it with all the 28 fundamental beliefs, believing in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, meaning that I need to treat my body as a living sacrifice. I need to be. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I will never drink, and I don't. I keep the 10 commandments by God's grace. I'm waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm an Adventist. And when I finished that, I said, "Who wants to be an Adventist?" And many people raised up their hands because they wanted to be Seventh Adventist. You have an identity which God has given you. Don't play with that. Make sure that every day you wake up, you look at yourself and you say, "Mwah, I am an Adventist. And I'm waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ, and is coming again." What is happening today? If you did not believe that Jesus is coming again, what is happening today should wake you up and know that we are even at the door. He is even at the door waiting for us so that we may be able to be where he is today. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And where God will be, there will be peace in the valley." We are going to turn our instruments of war into plowshares. We are going to be together forever and ever. So you need to know yourself, and you need to know the enemy. Because if you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you are going to be... to be wiped out of this earth. If you know neither the enemy, we have already spoken about them. The number three, it is that in the war, do not ever disobey the commands of the captain. The Bible says, "Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways I have commanded you, that it may be well with you." If the only book in this world, if the only book we possessed, if the only book which is available was the Bible, it was still going to be fine. We were going to live fulfilled lives up until the end. If the only commandments and statutes which we will follow in this world was the 10 commandments, we needed nothing more than that. This is what the Bible, Ellen G. White says somewhere, I think it is in 594, the book Great Controversy. none but those who have fortified their minds with the truth of the scriptures will be able to stand during the last great conflict. None. None will be able to stand unless you know your Bible. You need to read your Bible. That is why it is the most popular book. Not, it may not be the most read book in the Bible, in the world, sorry. But it is the most popular book in the world. The reason why it is so popular is because of the content it has. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, there is only one theme. And he says it in the book of John chapter 5 verse 39. You read the scriptures because you think in them you have life. But they are they which testify of me. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, the Bible is about only one character. It is about Jesus. All the other ones are props, but they are actually surrounding the King of Kings. At the end, when he comes, it will be face to face, not with the characters we have read in the Bible. We will see them also, but with Jesus, our loving Savior. So the Bible is so much important that it gives us the thing. There is an African proverb. You see, the violation of the seventh commandment in the Ten Commandments. Africans will always, in African culture, I'm sure you have heard, not Adventist, okay? You may be, if you are African and Adventist, you are sharp, okay? If you are African and you are not Adventist, hey, it's an age life. It's an age life because you will find that the uncle has a big house and a small house. You understand when I say big house and the small house? Is that you do understand. Never have a big house and a small house, okay? Stay like that. When you are a big house and a small house, they are actually solidifying the fact that a man does not stay with one woman. You can marry as many as possible. Like you know who, okay? But taking from the Ten Commandments, where God says, gives you a command, do not commit adultery. He is not giving us the Ten Commandments so that we may have miserable lives. We have miserable lives because we are not keeping the Ten Commandments, by God's grace, of course. We are miserable today because we have disregarded the commands of the captain. He says, do not commit adultery. Don't ask the reason why. But if you want reasons, we will give you the reasons. First of all, you don't even know the medical history of the person you are meeting with. Secondly, it may be said that you raped her or him. Well, it doesn't work that way, okay? It's okay. There are so many complications. When you don't keep the commandments of God, you are always in trouble. In fact, there is a proverb in the African culture which says, committing adultery is like trying to quench your thirst using boiling water. It says, it's like the problems become endless just because you have disobeyed the commands of the captain. Obey my voice, God says, I will be your God. I will take care of you in ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. And may God help us that we may be able to be in war. Beware of friendly fire. On the 25th of March 2003, the fourth day of the Iraq War, a British Challenger 2 tank was mistakenly attacked by a fellow British tank. Two soldiers were killed and another two crewmen were seriously injured in the so-called friendly fire. In the church, it is something else. Friendly fires are happening all the time. If you find Seventh Adventist church theologians arguing amongst themselves to the point where they want to devour each other like carnivores, talking about the nature of Christ, whether it is pre-lapsarian, post-lapsarian, talking about creation, whether it is a real 6,000, the earth is still 6,000 today as we can compute, or whether the world was, you know, it can be very confusing sometimes. People argue until they argue each other out of the church. That is friendly fire, and we call it friendly fire. Friendly fire is equally deadly. If you are shot by a friend, you will die the death, the same death which is died by everybody else. It is not going to be different. So it is important for us, why can't we just get along? Why can't we just love each other? Why can't, if we differ, why can't we differ in such a manner that when we are not able to agree on theological, and theology is not holy, okay? Theology is the way you study in order to reach conclusions about God. It is not holy. So what is really important is that even as we argue amongst each other, as we try to find out exactly who God is, as truth becomes progressive, we must do it on the principle of love, that we love one another. The end result should be both you and me should make it one day to heaven and in the earth made new. We must not shoot each other. We need to go for the enemy, which is the devil. You need also to surrender in the army. You need to, in the war. Joshua 5 verse 13, it says, and it came to pass, when Joshua was in Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, art thou for us or for your adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host and of the Lord, am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said to him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? When we are fighting the war, we always take one position or the other. When God comes to us, he does not come to take sides. He comes to take over. I thought you were going to say amen. When God comes into our lives, he does not come to say, I am Republican or I am a Democratic, I am this or that. When he comes into our lives, he takes over. And what a beautiful thing to be, because the battle has never been ours. The war is not ours. The war, the spiritual warfare in which we are, does not belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. We need to stand and let him fight for us. He says, stand and watch for the salvation of the Lord. And do not be presumptuous. There are roads which must not be followed, armies which must not be attacked, towns which must not be besieged, positions which must not be contested, and commands of the sovereign which must not be obeyed sometimes. When you are in a civil government like this one, there are things which we need to stand up as Christians and fulfill that statement which says, the greatest want of the world is the want of man who can neither be bought nor sold. People who are going to live by principle, knowing that right is right even if nobody does it, and wrong is wrong even if everybody does it. We can stand and say, whatever, you can legislate it, you can do everything, you can put us in prison, but we will not bow like the three Hebrew boys. We will stand tall and be able, because we are not presumptuous. We need to know that when we take ourselves and we protect ourselves against the enemy, we are not presumptuous. Presumptuous, what is that? It is actually not heeding to the word of God and saying to yourself, I will be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And when we ask you, why are you going out? We have got beautiful ladies and gentlemen, I mean girls and boys in the Seventh Adventist Church. You say, I'm doing it for evangelism. You can't do that. It is going to the club and you think that angels will be with you there. You know what I mean? Well, angels are everywhere. They will be with you everywhere. But it is not for you to put yourself into trouble, to climb on the roof and pray that your body might defy the force of gravity. That is putting yourself in danger. You need to know that where you are fighting, you need to keep yourself pure by the grace of God. This is where we are. We also need to be thankful to God always. I said, if we believe that he is our creator, if we believe that he is also our Redeemer, we always have to find a reason to thank him. thank him this morning. We thank him this morning for the sun which rose. We thank him for the gift of life. Do you know how precious it is that you are still alive today? There are people who were alive yesterday. They have turned into statistics. But you are here, not because you are the smartest people in the world, not because of the clothes you wear, not because of the positions you are here because of the grace of God. So every day you wake up and you still can breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide, you need to thank the Lord for the gift of life. You need to thank the Lord for the birds which sing, the flowers which bloom, the trees that are green. You need to thank the Lord for the melody of the birds around. You need to know that God loves you, and it is really very much important. In the book of Chronicles, chapter 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that is Jehoshaphat, and that should praise the beauty of his holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were completely smitten. Ellen G. White says in Sons and Daughters, page 199, do you not think that if more of this were done now in this war which we are having, the spiritual war we are having, our hope and courage and faith will be revived? Will not the hands of the soldiers who are standing in the defense of the truth be strengthened? If they were much more praising the Lord and far less doleful recitation of discouragement, many more victories will be gained. In 1999, when was the Y2K back? 1992, just crossing over to 2000. Sorry. I'm speaking to Anana when I say. But in 1999, New Year's Eve, which was unusual. The taverns in Soweto were closed. Nobody went drinking. Those with powerful cars like Mercedes-Benz parked them because they thought that it was said, you know, the microchips will malfunction. Those with money in the bank withdrew it, okay? And they were expecting the Lord to come. And of course, the Lord did not come. The following day, the taverns were sold out when nothing happened the previous day. The reason? People were told, this is the end of the world. Now, God is not stupid. He will not tell you when the world is going to end. You may have an idea, but you will never have the day. In fact, he says, I don't even need that the Son of Man. He does not give, because he knows, he's not stupid, he knows. If you know that you are going to, Jesus Christ is going to come tomorrow, you will live recklessly everywhere. I'm not saying everybody can do that. You live recklessly, and then just on the eve of his second coming, you then become righteous, knowing that he's just, he will not put you away. That did not happen. And when it did not happen, nobody spent their money. They were fine. Everybody went back because they were afraid. The sermons which were preaching during that time were all negative. Most of us, actually, they were all negative. We made the book of Revelation, the book of the revelation of the beast, not the revelation of Jesus Christ. But immediately after that, we discovered that we made a terrible mistake. You can preach about Jesus and his love and kindness and still make it to heaven. You can actually be powerful in preaching about Jesus. He will give you, the Spirit will help you to be powerful to convince people by speaking about him. Because the Bible is not, I'm not saying we should not preach prophecy, but the Bible is not only about the mark of the beast. It is about the seal of God and Jesus Christ himself. That is what Revelation is all about. So it says we need to praise more of God. We need to praise God more and make sure that soldiers who are fighting the battles are strengthened. One of the hymns which is sung all the time, and you know, this is the power of the national hymn. What do we call this? National anthem. If you want to defeat, not Manchester United, I think Liverpool, you must never let them sing, you shall not walk alone. You will never walk alone. If you let them sing that, they will beat you. So it is important for us to know that in war, we need to encourage each other. We need to praise God and make sure that it is important. In every assembly of the saints below are the angels of God listening to the thanksgiving, the praise, the supplication that is offered by the people of God in testimonies, songs, and prayers. Let them remember that their praises are supplemented by the choirs of the angelic hosts above. Praise, praise God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Thank God for his creation. Look at yourself and say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise God for his creation. Listen to the birds that sing. See the flowers bloom. Look at the majesty of the sunrise. Observe the elegant dance of the tall grass in the meadows. Touch the freshness of the morning dew. God is trying to tell us in nature, somebody said it here, that there are two books, the book of nature and the Bible. God is trying to tell us when we see these beautiful things in nature that I love you. I will protect you. I will care for you. You will never run out of food. You will never run out of a roof over your head. It says here, listen to the birds. The robins will sing. When you listen to the robins, you know that tomorrow robins will sing again. You need to praise God. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father? Fear not. Therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. We need to thank God for that. When we look at the sparrows, they are reminding us that God really, really cares. They don't work, and yet God looks after them. See the flowers bloom, and I put the those are cosmos, okay? And I discovered that in Africans they are called cosmos. And they are actually cosmos next, okay? But look at what the Bible says. And why take you thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies. This is in the middle of the battle. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I say amen to that. When you look at the flowers, which cost nothing, and you look at the colors which they produce, and those of you who are botanists can be able to tell us more about it. But when you look at this, you are happy that God can put these beautiful flowers before you to enjoy, because he knows that you will compare and see that the flowers are better dressed than all of us here on Sabbath. Look at the majesty of the sunrise, but unto you that fear my name, the Bible says, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Praise God for his creation. Observe the elegant dance of the tall grass in the meadows. And you need to know that the grass withers, the flowers will fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever and ever until he comes again. It is important for you. Praise God for his creation. Touch the freshness of the morning dew and hear God saying to you, my son, my daughter, I love you. I will provide even today. The Savior, our Heavenly Father, has 1,000 ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. Those who accept the one principle of making service of God supreme will find perplexities vanish and a plain path before their feet. Minister of Healing, page 489. It is actually saying we need to thank God for redemption. Thank him every day for redemption. Thank him for creation, but also thank him for redemption. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, we are chosen by God. Verse 7 says, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ. And verse 13 says, we are sealed by his Holy Spirit. So the heavenly trio combined together are there to save your soul. There is no reason why you should be lost, because the provision has made that everybody, by simply believing in Jesus, you will not perish but have everlasting life. Just praise him. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 14, verse 11, it says, and they overcame him in the war. When you praise God in the war, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. It is important for us to do. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because there is much, much complaining today in the church of God than praising God. We can even write books, volumes upon volumes, criticizing whatever we want to criticize. But why can't we write even a thin volume of just simply praising the Lord? From page one to the last page, just simply saying, for whatever we see around us, for the trees that are green, for the flowers which bloom, for the birds which sing, for the mountains and the undulating slopes, for crystal clear water rivulets flowing every day, giving the water of life, we want to stand up and say, praise the Lord. For the food we eat, the houses we dwell in, the clothes we wear, for his grace and for his mercy, we want to praise the Lord. For all the things, for making us discover the truth, for being Adventists, we are not crediting it to ourselves. It is because he has been searching for us all the time. And he was there all the time. And for salvation, so full and so free, we praise the Lord. For the promise that he has gone to prepare a place for us and is coming again to take us home, so that where he is, there we may be also. We praise the Lord. For the wars that are raging around, and we are going to be protected if we are sealed, and God is going to protect us, we praise him. And why don't we praise? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Eyes for prayer. Father, we worship you with no reservations, because you are our Creator and our Redeemer. We praise you because we were made in your image. We thank you for salvation so full and free. And we thank you that we can learn about you in creation. And we today go out of this temple knowing that our names are written in the books of life. Strengthen our faith in you. Help us to trust. Help us to obey you. In Jesus' name. Amen.